Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, or an iPhone, or a tablet, or something of that nature, if you've got a Bible app, let's find that very familiar passage of Scripture. I've preached out of Luke 2 several times in the Christmas season here. But we're going to be in Luke 2, verses 10 through... Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start reading at verse 6 there. And we got home late Friday night, and I usually spend at least two and a half days on a Sunday morning message. And so what I'm doing is I'm preaching the same message here that I preached at the Nashville Union Rescue Mission. And there were over 48, I think, decisions for Christ that night. Would to God He'd do that here this morning. Wouldn't that be fabulous? Well, He can. If we'll listen and just say yes to whatever He calls us to do. Let's stand as we honor God's Word one more time. Luke 2, verse 6. And we're going to focus on verses 10, 11, and 12 today. But let's just roll with this passage one more time. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her, that's Mary, to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, cloths actually is the word, lying in a manger, and suddenly, say suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
God of all grace and mercy, when we weren't worth having,
all right,
you came looking for us. When we weren't worth saving, you died to save us. I pray, Lord, that somebody in this room, somebody in this building, will get saved today. How glorious it would be to walk in here in the chains of darkness and to walk out of here free forever. Hide this man behind your word. Speak powerfully through him. Holy Spirit, come and testify to us about Jesus. And it's in His sweet name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. How many of you are kind of melancholy or sad after the Christmas season? You're sad to see it go. How many of you are happy that it's gone? Okay. Sometimes I think there's a little after Christmas is over. And so I'm going to be talking tonight about Christmas is forever. Christmas is forever. And I hope you'll come back. I believe this message is going to be anointed of the Lord. And I was just reading over it again this morning before I got here today to preach this message. And I'm excited about tonight. So do y'all even know what time we have service on Sunday night? 6 o'clock. All right. Now that I've made half of you mad, let's get into this passage. The good news of Christmas. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The words there in verse 10, good tidings. That is the word gospel. That's the Greek word euangelion. And that is, the word gospel literally is good news. Good news. And this news is so good, it's the best news you'll ever hear. It's fabulous news. And so I want to just kind of, I look back, and back the first Sunday in January of 2019, I preached on the gospel. And so the last Sunday in 2019, we're going to preach on the gospel. The gospel at Christmas time. Christmas is good news, not just because it's a season of giving. Christmas is good news because we have a Savior who's glorious. And so let's look at the gospel at Christmas time, the good news of Christmas. Now, we're going to focus on 10, 11, and 12, but I just love the Christmas story and the setting that it's in, just because of who Jesus is. And there's several reminders here that Christmas is good news. First of all, because of its revelation. Because of its revelation. Verse 12, and this will be the sign. Here's your sign. Words mean something, y'all. And when you're reading something, those words mean something. This is your sign. He said, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The sign that Luke talked about here involved a great revelation. The revelation of God leaving heaven and coming to earth in human flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think of that with me just for a moment. God in human flesh. That's a tremendous revelation. God wanted us to know what He was like, so He sent His Son in human flesh. Jesus is God spilling Himself out in human terms. And so Christmas is good news because of its revelation of humanity. Now, He says you'll find the babe. The angel said you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That first Christmas evening and that first Christmas morning, God was wrapped not in a Shekinah cloud of glory, but in the swaddling clothes of a baby. In those days, they would wrap the babies, especially poor parents, in what they called strips of cloth around their limbs so that they would keep their limbs intact, and then around the body to keep them warm. And so Jesus, His birth, nothing quite like the birth of Jesus. He was conceived miraculously. He was born supernaturally. Can you imagine leaving heaven and coming to this place? You see, that's how much God loves us. Can you imagine being on the throne of the universe in 1 minute, and the next minute you're here? Whew, mercy me. Now, when Mary and Joseph, just put yourselves in their shoes, they're in a stable, a shelter for housing animals. And they laid Jesus in a feeding trough with hay in it for animals. And when they looked into the face of their baby boy, they're actually staring into the face of Almighty God. Now that is an amazing, amazing revelation. No wonder John's gospel says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God spilling Himself out in human flesh. If you want to know what, you know, God wanted us to know what He was like, so He sent Jesus. If you want to know what God's up to, follow Jesus. If you want to know what God sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know where God's going, take a look at Jesus. He is God in human flesh. And so Christmas is good news because of the revelation of humanity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there's also the revelation of humility. 12b says, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, Jesus was not born in some palace. If you were God and you were going to send your son, where would He have been born? The Taj Mahal? the White House. I mean, somewhere big, somewhere significant, right? But Jesus wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't even born in a home. He was born in a stable, a shelter for animals. And there, on that bed of hay, lay the Son of God, wrapped in the garments of poor people. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 8:9 says. It says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus never wore the garments of a king or a prince. Jesus wore the clothes of a peasant. The Bible says foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of God had nowhere to lay his head. Even when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Listen to what the humility is, as how Philippians describes the Lord. It says, and having made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, the reason Christmas is good news is because on that first Christmas, God revealed himself to us in his humanity and his humility. And I might say this, you're never more like Jesus than when you are humble. I love my preacher buddies, you know. But can I just tell y'all, I've got some preacher brothers I love very much, and they can strut sitting down. What blesses God is humility. And he will exalt those who humble themselves. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace. I could preach another sermon right here, but I'll stay off of it. But the reason Christmas is such good news is because of the revelation that we were given through his humanity and his humility. But there's a second truth here about Christmas being good news. Christmas is good news because of its liberation. Look at verse 11. Now, I touched on some of this the other night after the children's program. And by the way, didn't our kids do great? I'll give y'all one more chance. Didn't our kids do great? Hallelujah. Y'all, I'd rather calm down a fanatic than try to raise a dead corpse. You understand where I'm coming from? Didn't our kids do wonderful? Yes, I was so blessed. That was Christmas. That was 2 weeks ago. That's how long I've been gone, I guess. But I shared some of these truths that in real briefly that night, but I wanted to unpack those for you this morning. Now, for 400 years, there had been no prophetic word from God. No prophecy. No prophet. For 400 years, no word from God. Ezekiel had watched the glory of God depart from the temple and watched the Spirit of God head out through the eastern gates of Jerusalem and out over the Mount of Olives. And if you're going to Israel with us, you're going to see all of that. For 400 years, can you imagine what a dark time that must have been for Israel? The glory of God had departed. There'd been no word from heaven. I mean, those were long days and dark nights. But always there's a remnant in long days and dark nights. You had that old priest like Simeon praying and looking for the Messiah. You had that prophetess Anna praying and looking for the Messiah. And then all of a sudden, bam! The glory of God was back on the earth. Out there on the Judean hillside, the angels came and began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And because of that, Christmas is good news because of its revelation. Say revelation with me. All right. Now, these are three titles in verse 11. He says, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a what? Who is the..." Three titles for Jesus. And these three titles for Jesus give us three liberating truths. Are you ready for these? Are you ready for these? Y'all, my preaching professor, if y'all ever get a chance to go hear Dr. Robert Smith, go hear him preach. He is Black Scholarship on fire. He had the greatest impact in my life when it comes to preaching and pastoring of anybody I've ever been around. And he used to say things like, God's so big he bumped into himself. I mean, this man was fantastic. But he told me and ingrained this in my spirit. Whenever you're up preaching, make sure you're communicating with people. And that's why I ask y'all from time to time these crazy things. Because I want to be sure we're communicating. Are we communicating? All right. Savior. As Savior, he liberates those under the bondage of sin. Look at verse, he says, a Savior. Now, there are a lot of little boys in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem when Jesus was born with the name of Jesus. It's a very common name, Yeshua. Very common name, but it has its roots. That name, that title has its roots, Savior, all the way back in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, named Joshua. Y'all remember Joshua? Well, the name Joshua means Jehovah saves. And you remember what Joshua did? It wasn't Moses who led them into the promised land. Who was it? Joshua. And he led them into the promised land of Canaan, which was a land of victory and a land of deliverance, a land of liberation. It was the land flowing with milk and honey. And so that name Joshua means Jehovah. Well, the name Jesus is the New Testament word for Joshua, and his name means Jehovah saves. You remember what the angel said to Joseph? You shall call his name because he will do what? Save their people from their sins. And I've come here today to remind us, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. I had a couple of spirit-filled deacons told me one time, a couple of years ago over at my home church, said, all you ever talk about is somebody being saved. I said, you don't realize this, my brothers, but what y'all have done is given me a great compliment because Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Right? And so, if you've been liberated by Jesus, you've been set free from the power and the penalty and one day even the presence of sin. What a liberating gift Jesus is. Somehow all my sins have been washed away, forgiven, forgotten, never again to be hauled back into God's courtroom and thrown in my face guilty again. No siree. I've been liberated. If you've been set free from your sin, would you shout something? Amen. This is a Baptist church, amen. Hallelujah, amen. He came to liberate us and set us free from sin. What a liberator he is. So as Savior, he liberates those under the bondage of sin. But as Christ, here's the second title, he liberates us from what? The bondage of circumstances. Look at verse 11. Do you see that name? Christ, that name, that title means the anointed one. The anointed one. Now, 529 times the name Christ, the anointed one, is used to describe Jesus. And according to Luke 3, 21 and 22, that's the Lord's baptism. From that point in time on, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus at his baptism. And then listen to these words from the mouth of Jesus in Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He is the anointed one. As a matter of fact, Acts 10:38 tells us that Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God all throughout his ministry. And I've said all of that to say this. Whenever someone was in his presence, they knew they were in the presence of Almighty God. He had that anointing on him wherever he went. There is nothing, because of the fact that he's anointed, there isn't anything that you're going to run up against, that you're going to come, something's going to come down your path he can't deal with. I don't care what it is. He can cope with anything because he's the anointed one. Whatever you got to go through, whatever it is that the old devil in this world puts in your path, Jesus can deal with it because he's the anointed one of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right. All powers and principalities are subject unto him. He is the Christ, the anointed one. I'm trying to give somebody some hope here today. Whew. Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope. Christ liberates those under the bondage of circumstances. And then the final one, Lord, he liberates those under the bondage of sadness. You know, y'all, I talk to a lot of people at Christmas time, and I want to tell you, Christmas time is a sad time for a lot of folks. Do you know that? It's not that not everybody's jumping up and down. Oh, goody, 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 gumdrops, it's Christmas. Christmas is a tough time for a lot of people. Y'all keep praying for Wally Burchett. He was coming last week to church. And when he heard I wasn't going to be here, he just fell back down in a heap. He's really having a tough time. You know, he's had to say goodbye to his wife. Christmas is a tough time for a lot of people. I want to tell you, Ross Milliken's having a tough time this Christmas. But as Lord, he liberates those under the bondage of sadness. I guess the word that is used more than any other word to describe Jesus by the disciples in the New Testament is the word Lord. It's used 747 times. He's the jumbo jet of lordship. He's Lord. And as Lord, now that word, we don't use that word much today, do we? I guess, you know, we do use it in vain. Lord. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? But that word was used of someone who had tremendous power and authority like that of a king or an emperor or some type of ruler. It was also used of a master or owner or someone who commanded great respect. But I love that verse over in Philippians. There is coming a day when those in heaven, when those on the earth, and even when those under the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't you wish everyone knew Him as Lord? Don't you wish we all knew Him as Lord? And that helps me in times of loneliness and sadness. God's got this thing covered. He is Lord of the universe. And one day everybody's going to know that. And so Christmas is good news because of its revelation. Christmas is good news because of its, what? Liberation. And finally, Christmas is good news because of its jubilation. Look at verse 10. In Luke 2. Then the angel said unto them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Christmas brings good news of joy. Do you know how you... Do y'all know how to spell joy? Yeah. I must have said that before. Maybe y'all just smarter than I am. You don't spell it J-O-Y, you spell it J-E-S-U-S. Why? Because Jesus is joy. And no one can take your joy from you. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, they can take your happiness away because happiness depends on circumstances. But you see, joy depends on Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you got Him forever. He acquired your salvation on the cross, and He's maintaining your salvation through His ministry of intercession today. And the only way you can get Cal Hampton lost is to interrupt the prayers of Jesus. And when you get saved, you're not going to interrupt the prayers of Jesus. He's praying for you. Doesn't that bless you today? It brings me great joy to know that Jesus is alive and well, and He's not mad at me, and He's not mad at you. As a matter of fact, He loves you. Joy. Say that with me. Oh, listen to this. Fear not, do not be afraid. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. On the cross, Jesus provided love for all of humanity. Whosoever believes in Him will not. Whoo! If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't have anything to fear. Fear not. Be not afraid. There's one philosopher in every crowd, and after I preached this message at the rescue mission, Thomas was standing right there. I had some know-it-all come tell me, you know, the Bible does not say 365 times, fear not. Because I'd made that statement. But the Bible does say in some form, shape, or fashion of fear not, be not afraid, you don't have to fear, that kind of thing. It does say that 365 times a day. 365 times, and how many days? Yeah. And so basically what the Word of God's trying to tell us, we don't have anything to fear. Only thing we've got to fear is God. Hello? Fear God. Bible says that. And so, that brings joy, does it not? Joy. Somebody smile. Joy. Jesus is joy. Not happiness. And by the way, I've ticked a few people off by saying this, but this is great spiritual truth. I think God wants us to be happy, but He's more interested in us being holy. And when you're holy, joy, joy, joy. So we can be filled with joy because there's nothing to fear, and we can also be filled with joy because of glad tidings, good news, which will be what? Everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Now shout it, everybody. You see, the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for everybody, not just Americans. It's good news for Arabs and Asians and Africans. It's good news for everybody. It's not just good news for rich folk. It's good news for poor folk. It's not just good news for old folks. It's good news for... It's not just good news for... folks in Cunningham, it's good news for folks in Woodlawn. It's not just good news for people on the east side of Clarksville, on this side of the river. It's good news for the folks over there on the west side of the river. It's good news for everybody. Jesus died for everybody and rose from the dead for everybody. It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. God's desire is for the whole world to come to know His Son as Lord and Savior. What about you today, my friend? Do you know Him? I'm not talking about do you know about Him. The Bible says even the demons know Him. And you know, demons are not children of God. There's a lot of people out here, and maybe even in here, you know Him. You know Him. But you don't really know Him right here. Do you know Him that way? And the way you get to know Him that way is by repentance. Repenting of your sin. And by faith, trusting in the finished work of Christ Jesus. Repentance and faith. There's never been any other way to be saved. But it's God's will and God's desire that you might be saved today. And I'll promise you something. If you'll do that today, you'll walk out of here with joy. Unspeakable. You'll be full of glory. Pray with me. Lord, why would I preach a message on the gospel today, on the good news? I just believe this is what I'm supposed to do tonight. I'm just your servant, your mouthpiece, your messenger boy. But I do believe there's someone here that needs Christ. And there's many more here that already have Christ, and we haven't shared Him with anybody. Oh God, please help us to do what You put us here to do. The greatest miracle that ever takes place is when somebody receives a brand new heart from Jesus. Lord, I don't know what You want to do with this message, but I believe there are people here that need prayer. There are people here that need comfort. There are folks here that need to be challenged. And there are folks here that need to be saved. Oh God, do what only You can do here today. In Jesus' name we ask You. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.